The Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast is bursting at the seams coming into Week 8. Allen wins its 50th in a row, DeSoto picks up its fourth loss, and Highland Park, well, its stadium lacks elevators. Avi, Greg, Matt, Rhiannon, and Corbett talk about all those topics and more. We talk with South Lake Carroll's coach Hal Wasson heading into a huge game with Euless Trinity, and we hit up the Week 8 schedule hard as it's moving day for teams with playoff hopes in 5 and 6A. We've got all that and more coming up on the podcast. Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast is finally here. We're sorry we missed on Monday. We missed partly because Greg Riddle couldn't make it.
Thanks,
in.
Greg.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Greg's
here
now, though.
Taking care of your
sorry
kids.
About that. They're all better now.
Yeah, Greg's better.
That's
and the
your
kids
excuse,
are better.
Kids?
Kids is a good excuse.
Dumb.
It's a good excuse kind of to knock down everything. You know, people can't really complain when you say, yeah, I got sick kids. That makes sense. And Matt Wixon was also not here.
Mm.
He is not here right now, but he is in transit. He will join us later in the program. That booming voice you heard is from Avi Zalin. Hey, Avi, how are you?
Yeah.
I wonder how you get the intro. Like, I'm mimicking the intro track you have. Where did you get that?
That is from the free music catalog, so we don't get, you know, sued.
I wonder if it was like a high school musical ripoff.
Next time we'll just have you sing the intro while I like talk. It'll be some sort of like freestyle.
And then you'll wonder why the listeners go down.
Well, this is week 8 of the high school football season. Some really fantastic games this week. We'll talk about that in part 3, including the big game, which is Euless Trinity and South Lake Carroll. I think everybody is anticipating that. We'll talk to Hal Wasson a little bit in part 2. About how his season has gone thus far. And let's get to part one and talk about some games of this past week. Just hit the highlights since it is Tuesday. What do we think about Allen? They're good.
They're good at football.
They play good football.
They do.
Yeah.
They're off this week, which, you know, technically, you know, the winning streak, they're not going to win this week.
They are not winning this week, but they've won 50 in a row now with a nice 45-13 win over Hebron. Seth Green looks like he's established himself as the starter there.
Yes. He had probably his best game of the season.
Yeah, goes 21-30 for 309 and 5 touchdowns. Also rushes for 113 yards, which actually brings down his yearly average by a couple of yards. Mitchell Jonke, you know, we're talking about, you know, kind of a two-headed quarterback. He only throws 4 passes for 22 yards. So certainly it looks like Green is moving forward. And, you know, I wrote a blog post about this there on Sunday. I don't really see any hurdles that are insurmountable in the regular season. And when you look at that playoff path that looked so daunting there to start the season, that playoff path right now looks a lot less daunting when you consider that DeSoto has really kind of, you know, they've struggled. We'll talk about that here in a second. But you've got DeSoto at 2-4, and then you have potentially a game against Arlington Martin, and that Martin game, that's a team that has not played necessarily as well as we expected them after that first season opening win. So, you know, I can conceivably see them making it through this season unbeaten, and then they just have to go through the regular season unbeaten again, and boom, they got the record, 69 in a row. 68 is the record. That is Salina. Hey, Matt Wixon, how are you?
Well, finally I get to talk.
Oh, no.
No, but his mic.
His mic's not working. Hold on. But, yeah, when you look at where Allen is as far as, that winning streak, 50 is incredible. And certainly, yeah, it's much harder to do in this classification than in a smaller classification like Salina. But that's totally achievable. I mean, it's within the realm of possibility if they can finish out this year. Because I think with Jonke coming back, and they've got some good players coming back, as they always do, you know, it's out there, which I never really thought that they could, that would be an honest discussion at this point.
You think Trinity has a chance to beat him this year?
I do. I think Trinity always will have a chance to beat, those type of teams because of the way that they run the ball and the way that they play defense. It'll be interesting to see in a high-pressure situation what Seth Green can do. Kyler Murray was so valuable to them in the last couple of years, you know, making things happen and kind of making something out of nothing. Allen's team, though, has got a lot more athletes this year than last offensively. The defense is strong, but this year, you know, they've got Kirby Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a couple of receivers that moved in. So, you know, I it'll be a tough game against Trinity if that happens. But let's talk about the rest of the scores there from District 6-6A. Flowerman Marcus played a surprisingly close game against Plano West, a Plano West team which now falls to 1-3. How do you think this Plano East Plano was going to shake out at the start of the season? I don't think anybody saw Plano struggling as much as they have, but they're now 1-4 in district play, and I don't think that they've got a really good chance of making the playoffs, which is shocking to me.
I don't see a lot of ways at 4-4 you can make it. With nine schools in there, you got to get in the top four to be 4-4. And the way the tiebreakers are going to play out, they would need a lot of tiebreakers. They would need a three-way tie or something at 4-4. But
when they started the season, I don't think there was any question that we thought that they were a playoff team out of that district.
Oh, definitely. It's been disappointing. And, you know, for Plano fans, Plano has such a great history. There's been no team that I've been asked more about this year about, you know, than what happened to Plano.
Right.
And I don't have a great answer. And part of the reason I tell them is, you know, Plano kind of fell off the map so early, I didn't get a real long look at them. You know, I expected to be covering an undefeated Plano versus undefeated Allen game. And the week before that, Hebron beat Plano.
Mm-hmm.
And Hebron's, you know, had some troubles this year. So I didn't do that Plano-Allen game. But the big thing with Plano is that, you know, Brandon Stevens has put up pretty good numbers. They have not been able to pass the ball. And
that's been kind of their Achilles heel in the last
several
couple
years.
Yeah.
And I think there's only so much you can ask of that defense. Their defense is pretty good, but you got to score some points after
a while.
They
lost the game 14-7.
Right. I mean, you can only ask so much of your defense.
It's also hard to win when you have eight turnovers against Allen.
Yeah. Congratulations to Joey McCullough. Plano East picks up the city title, beating the Plano West and Plano.
You win the water tower, actually, I think.
Really?
Yeah, you get to take it home with you.
There are several water towers in Plano.
Well, the one that got knocked down.
Oh, okay. That's true.
What else are you going to do with it?
The other game in that district, a pretty important one for Louisville's hopes. Louisville improves to 2-2 with a close win over Flower Mound. Flower Mound's playing better for Dane Johnson. They're just not just right there yet, but you can see improvement there. Although they do fall to 1-6 overall.
Another big one for Louisville this week, Plano West. In that district, there's huge swings in one game. You can be, hey, we're in great position, and then if you lose it, man, we are really in trouble.
Right, and we'll talk about that in part three. Let's say a little bit about DeSoto and Mansfield. I was at that game. Mansfield, you know, they controlled that second half, certainly. Kennedy Brooks goes off, rushes for 284 and two touchdowns. Both of those touchdowns in the second half, and the final one, a 71-yard run that kind of is the game sealer. 35-21. DeSoto falls to 2-4. Mansfield now 3-0 in district play, and now it looks like they could legitimately get to a penultimate game with Cedar Hill, not only for the district title but for the top seed out of Division II, which. That's a pretty big carrot right there, because a team like South Lake Carroll is looming in that next round. When you look at that game, Matt, I know Mansfield's a pretty good team, but we thought DeSoto was a state championship contender coming into the year. Now they've got four losses halfway through the season.
Yeah, I think Mansfield is a very legitimate team, but I just mentioned that Plano is the team I get asked about most. Easily the number two would be DeSoto.
Because, yeah, no question.
I mean, they were our preseason number one, and now they, you know, stand at 2-4.
What a jinx preseason number ones were. We had Mansfield Timberview, who's 3-3. And,
I would say that's true, except that we usually have Allen number one. It's worked out okay for them. But
we didn't this year.
Yeah, that's right.
don't you forget it.
It's really weird. I mean, the thing with DeSoto is, you know, their defense has been spotty but hasn't been terrible. And the big thing is that what has kind of been the identifier of DeSoto in recent years? They just score like crazy.
Right.
You cannot stop them. And that has not been the case this year. They've been real pedestrian-like, and at least for big stretches of time for their offense.
And it's the weird thing, too, because they'll individually have good statistical weeks. Like, Tristan Wallace will get his. You know, he'll get at least 250 total yards between rushing and passing. I think this past week they got K.D. Nixon back. He had a really nice game receiving.
He made a big difference in that game. Two touchdowns and was really impactful.
And I really thought he was going to be the guy who would push them up close to that elite level again, and, you know, they really make a strong run. They still could, but you know, each week they lose a game, and I keep waiting for that DeSoto to show up that we were expecting. You know, makes me wonder if it's ever going
to
show up.
But right. It's one of those things too. So they're able to get that yardage, but as far as just punching it into the end zone, it's, you know, at least on paper, it seems that turnovers really hurt them. I don't know if that was the case again against Mansfield, but you know, just some of those mental mistakes that, you know, prevent them from winning.
Special teams gaff again. You know, we had that video online of a punt that. You know, it did get to the line of scrimmage, but it had some backspin on it, and it was one of the craziest plays I've seen, a scoop and score.
Did that guy go out of bounds?
He did go out of bounds. It looks like he went out of bounds, but I got an email from a Fort Worth officials chapter who said that wouldn't necessarily disqualify him from returning the ball, so I need to look into that a little bit more. There's some arcane rules about
sure.
people leaving out of bounds and coming back in.
It doesn't come up a lot.
No, it doesn't. It was a bizarre play, though, because it was kind of an afterthought. It looked like he was just running off the field, and his coaches were like, pick it up. Turns around. Jackson Gleason with a 19-yard return, and that gave Mansfield an early lead. Another game of real note as far as 6A district race goes. And that was the game that Rhiannon was at. That was Highland Park and Mesquite Horn. Highland Park, somehow, man, I don't know how they do it. Randy Allen is a genius, I guess, which makes sense.
It's the fedora.
Well, I mean, he's got over 300 wins for a reason. Right. You know, and I just looked at that team early this year with some unimpressive wins. I mean, not to say unimpressive, but certainly not blowout wins against some 5A opponents. And I thought, man, Highland Park's down. They don't have the kids. And here they go. Rolling into district, they improved to 3-0 in district play and 5-1 overall with a home win against Mesquite Horn, 24-17. Henry Allen with a touchdown pass and Stephen Deeb with a touchdown run, and they managed to get it done. Did it seem like that game switched, really kind of flipped when Chris Robinson got injured? I mean, that certainly is a huge blow. He collided with a electric fan on the sidelines and had to leave the game in the second quarter.
Yeah, so it just the game itself was actually a very nitty-gritty game, and actually the score was 21 to 10 or so going into the half, and I could be wrong about that. But the 21 actually came with 4 seconds left to go, and this was a JT Dooley touchdown where he got popped. I mean, this game was a very hard-fought, low-turnover game where it wasn't necessarily ground game was getting you the win so much as just like being a very gritty team. They were really having long drives and things of that nature to sustain, so defense was on the sideline for quite a bit of time. And then when you had the second string, Ivor Martin come in and play for Mesquite Horn, it at times seemed like they couldn't really move the ball, but they did have some success at times. One of the big issues was sacks. They got in some real long-distance situations because the guards, the tackles, and just the line in general just kind of like gave up on him a little bit. And sometimes he held the ball for a little bit too long. And when they did have the ball back after the final touchdown from Highland Park, they couldn't. They needed a quick score. They couldn't really get anybody open to the sideline to get out of bounds. And so they're throwing balls to the middle of the field with very few timeouts, using those timeouts. And
having a veteran quarterback would have certainly helped in that situation.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It wasn't a blowout, obviously. It was a very close game, and I feel like maybe if Chris Robeson was in the game still, there would have been an overtime or something along those lines. But even with him in the game, the game wasn't going very well for them.
What did you think about Highland Park? No elevator.
saw you tweet that.
I did.
It was funny because
it's such a weird stadium in that it is probably the closest to just huge amounts of development. Like
right.
it's
mm-hmm.
just smack dab right there in the middle of Highland Park. Although I think it's technically a Dallas address, but
at least you weren't at Wiley where the power went out because of a wreck, and there's no power in the press box.
The game got delayed. No, there was a wreck, and it ended up going into like the generator, power source or whatever.
They thought they were gonna move the game to Saturday, and there's a band concert.
They start at 7:45. It wasn't a big deal.
You know, the funny thing is that being from D.C., like, I used to do the whole one-man band thing, my own stats, being on the sideline, and I actually like it that way to a certain degree because I used to hear things and just pick up on certain things around the game. Being in the press box is actually – it's harder for me because the game is a little bit farther away. You can't always see the players, and sometimes, like with Matt's story about, you know, the jerseys. Yeah, the nerves. It's hard, and I also need my contact prescription changed too, so I'm not going to blame that all on them. But, yeah, I got used to there being an elevator in every single stadium. I say, where's the stairs? And they said, just take the elevator. And so I got used to taking an elevator. So I walked in, and I said, oh, is there an elevator to the press box? And I felt very not pretentious, but I felt very uppity, and I wasn't trying to be. It's just that you guys have spoiled me here in Dallas. And
well, it's
so
usually the easy
it.
Way to the press box.
Well, you know, that, yeah. Stairs are gritty. That's that builds character right there. So you go to Highland Park, you see a gritty game. You're not using an elevator.
And yeah. Shout out to those Highland Park fans because there's some dudes who have to climb those stairs. Who that looks like that's a you know, that's a workout.
It is.
They've been there a while.
And you got to see the fireworks.
I did get to see the fireworks. Actually, that was one of the more exciting things. Well, not saying the game was exciting, but it was.
After the game was over, we finally got to the fireworks.
Well, there you go.
But there were fireworks in the background, and so I tried to get that in my my pan picture, but it didn't actually work out that way. But, yeah, no. I have a general question for you guys.
Shoot.
Why do Dallas streets not have streetlights? I was driving through Highland Park, and I actually almost hit a kid.
That's not Highland Park. Highland Park's not Dallas. That's University Park.
University Park.
They fancy.
Different police. Whole deal.
Yep.
My guess is that, yeah, it's the ambiance. They don't want that ambient light getting out.
It's the candlelight.
Same way in Mansfield.
Like this is
I
same
think
way.
They're just trying to save
Greg,
money.
Greg, quick comparing Mansfield to University Park.
That's the same way
Let's
in Plano,
stop.
Too, hey, though.
Good
like,
he's trying to drive his property values up.
Our football teams are better than theirs. Our football teams
can
beat theirs.
Whoa. Greg
on.
Riddle. That's G. Riddle at Dallas
That's
News.
How that is
if you want to
Land
tweet him.
Showcase next year. Lake Ridge and Highland Park.
Yeah.
That'd be a good game.
That would. How about those Rangers? No,
okay, well, other score.
Ask me tomorrow.
Other score in that district. Lake Highlands improves to 3-0.
How about Lake Highlands?
With a nice win, 37-22 over Richardson. They've kind of just jumped, you know, out of the shadows. You know, early in the season, they had played some teams up, played some pretty tough competition, but not with a lot of success. But they've really, you know, made some improvements offensively and are showing a lot. On the offensive side of the ball, the biggest upsets actually came in, some games in 5-6A, and that was Keller Central falling to Justin Northwest, and Keller falling to Byron Nelson.
Mm.
I think both of those teams, we didn't necessarily expect. I think a lot of Keller Central, and yet they're 0-3 in that district. Ryan and Geyer both with comfortable wins, although Ryan, it was close, 21-14. They had to hold off Timber Creek in the last 8 minutes. Southlake Carroll, we'll talk to their coach, Hal Wasson, here in part two, but they had a convincing win over Richland. Euless Trinity actually fell down early against Hurst LD Bell, but they end up coming back 56-17. Jayron Wilson rushes for 3 TDs and almost 250 yards to John Garrett.
How about that average? Look at that. Look at that attempt. 7 attempts over 200 yards.
He's good.
I'm just saying that average is ridiculous.
We're talking about Corbett. Did you see that trick play that they had, though, Bell? Did you see how they got their first touchdown?
No.
Oh, you're going to see it today in my top plays.
Oh, top plays.
Oh, it's a top play.
I like that.
They tried to do it again twice over. They almost got another touchdown from that play. That's the thing that got me. I was just like, well, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
You're giving Southlake Carroll some good scouting information.
Oh, am I?
You think they need some trick plays?
No, but it was Bell that
it was Bell that needs trick plays.
It was Bell that did the reverse.
Yeah.
Right, I'm saying Southlake Carroll can steal that and use it against Trinity. Right?
Southlake Carroll is not they're not afraid of running a trick play.
No, they'll run some stuff.
I mean, of course, they have Zach Farr, so, I mean, they could kind of just throw it up in his general direction and he'll catch it. I remember, the Capel game, he had 3 touchdowns. So,
Well, I think Euless Trinity might be able to, you know, say something about that. They'll probably be watching Farrar closely, as will little Jordan Humphrey.
Mm.
Should be a great game. Okay, we'll talk about that in part three. But right now, let's go to 5A action, our two favorite districts. Mansfield District, Lake Ridge with a convincing win over Timberview, 49-24. Jet Duffy with 3 touchdowns, 152 yards rushing and a touchdown. Duke Carter with 3 scores. Matt, someone asked me this, and I really had a tough time answering it because I don't exactly know where they fit in. Do you think Lake Ridge is a state championship contending team at this point?
Yeah, I think they are. 5A is really hard to read statewide. But I do that based on the fact that I really think Lancaster is a state-contending team. You know, they had five turnovers in that loss to Lake Ridge. So, I mean, out of that district, I think anybody who survives out of that district has a shot. It comes down to, you know, matchups and things like that. But if you're specifically Lake Ridge, Jet Duffy, they got a great quarterback who controls things really well, and you feel comfortable when he's out there. And they've got a good defense.
And good lines on both sides. And, impressive size.
Yeah, and when running the ball, you know, they got some speed, they got some power, they can mix things up. So I think they're a real tough team to match up against.
Their defense seems to be a lot better this year. They were putting up tons of points last year, but their defense is kind of what hurt them in the playoffs.
They were getting some shootouts the last couple of years, and in their wins, they were having to, you know, score 50 to give up 40.
Sounds like Baylor.
We could say this any week, really, about just the depth there, but think about this for a thought. Between Legacy, Arlington, Seguin, and Timberview, two of those teams aren't going to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, we have six of those teams are in our area rankings, and I think their non-district record, not counting Red Oak, so the top seven was 18-3.
Yep.
Yeah, Waxahachie's 3-3 in their second.
You know, Waxahachie had to replace their quarterback, and they still pushed Summit to the limit.
Yeah, and that was 43-42, a two-point conversion.
That was a wild one.
Early in that game was the difference. But there was a crazy play in that game too, right, Greg?
Waxahachie could have put away the game, tried a long field goal over 50 yards, came up short, and Derek Johnson ran it back.
Derek Johnson, he's
ran
it back
over 80 yards to the 19-yard line.
Oh, almost got Auburn.
Set up the game-winning touchdown.
He was also an official in that game. He's a three-way star.
He rushed for 77 yards and two scores, but he's had a game-sealing interception as well this season. He's been all over the field. In a very important game as far as keeping playoff hopes alive, that was Legacy and Seguin. Legacy 51-41. Cameron Session rushes for three touchdowns. Kendall Catalan, their quarterback, who I know that Coach Melson is real high on. He threw for three touchdowns, rushed for almost 100 yards and a score. And that improves them to 2-1, drops Seguin to 1-2. We'll talk about them in part three. The other district that's full of crazy action, that's Frisco. Lone Star with an impressive win over Centennial, kind of stretched that game out late thanks to some interceptions. Jason Shelley rushes for two scores. Jalen Dixon with 100 yards receiving and a touchdown, 28-14. They're now 7-0. 5-0.
And their defense is good.
Their defense is legit. Their offensive line is legit. I was really impressed by their size, you know, all around. You look at what Frisco's done in the playoffs, and you don't necessarily think long playoff runs.
Right.
But this team, I think, certainly has the moxie to do it.
Well, I know. I think, yeah, we've kind of fallen into that. You figure every year Frisco's going to have a couple of teams that are going to maybe make it a couple of rounds in the playoffs. They're going to have a lot of really competitive teams, but maybe not an elite team. And Lone Star may have a chance to kind of break out of that mold this year.
They got votes in the state poll this week.
Well, good for them. They deserve it. Yeah. I think they're a really impressive team. I did not have them on my ballot, but I think that they're right there in that, you know, 10 to 15 range as far as statewide, in my estimation.
Are there any quarterbacks from our area that went on to play big-time college ball that you think Jason Shelley compares to?
I think Trayvon Boykin is a guy who's, you know, of that size. He's not as big as Boykin, but he's really dynamic running the ball, throwing the ball. He can throw the deep ball, he's got nice touch, but, you know, not necessarily a polished passer, but as electric a runner as you'll find.
And he's got a whole nother year.
I think Shelley, at least from when I watched him the other night, he reminded me a lot of Dreyfus Jackson.
Oh yeah,
Cedar Hill, who's now at Rice.
Yeah,
so.
I think that would be the kind of school I could see him at, like a, you know, a mid-level or low, you know, power five team, but a guy who can make things happen with his legs and his arm. Wakeland and the Colony, an important game for Wakeland, to kind of stay up top.
That
of
surprised
that
me how
race.
Many points they put up
on
the Colony.
That was like 42 at halftime.
56-21 was the final score. Jay Origi with the two touchdowns and 220 yards rushing. It's an impressive performance there against a strong Colony defense. Lovejoy in their district improved to 3-0 with a 27-20 win over McKinney North. Bowman Sales, shocking score line of the week is he rushed for 100 yards. He rushed for 110 and two scores.
Taking what they give you, right? Taking what they give you.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily peg him for being a dual threat guy, but he certainly did it. 266 in the air, two scores.
What were the turnovers in that game?
I don't know.
I think they were pretty low. I think that has been the key for Lovejoy this year. They've always put up some
– Sales has not thrown very many picks, that's for
because
sure.
Because they've always been able to move the ball. It's just, you know, can you get it to the end zone before throwing it away or dropping it?
And their defense – hasn't been that great in past years, and they held McKinney North 27 points below their season average. So they're making big strides on defense, too, I think.
In an all-name team selection.
Oh, believe it. Go. I can't believe you haven't done all-name team, especially when there's a dude named Bumperpool.
Bumperpool.
Bumperpool is pretty fun.
Yeah.
Not the kid. I don't know the kid, but, you know.
The game
is really fun, yeah.
No, oh, is that a real game?
Yeah.
Bumperpool is fun, yes. Yeah. It is a game.
So, like, it's a little, I guess it's a octagonal pool table mm-hmm. with little stoppers there where you have to hit it around. But, yeah, it's hella fun.
No, Corbett, actually, Court and Matt, you guys actually missed it. I got an email yesterday about Bumperpool. Someone thought that let's face it, selection was actually a joke, and I was kind of like, no, that's his real name. The email said it's just like, so should we be on the lookout for his brother's swimming pool and his sister's wading pool? And I was like, ooh. Well.
Reader emails.
Next week, backgammon is going to be in our... Among our honorable mentions.
Oh, gosh.
The other score in that district that was significant, Wiley East surviving against Prosper, 32-31. Eno Benjamin.
You got to watch out for that arm, man.
That kid does everything. Eno Benjamin, he rushes for 257 and two scores, but throws a 14-yard touchdown pass, the go-ahead touchdown
and
pass.
And it was not like a trying to fool you with the touchdown pass. It was a... He just decided, hey, there's somebody open. They're going to tackle me. I'm going to throw it.
Zip it.
Yeah, and it worked.
And that was with 2:22 left in the game. That's a go-ahead score, and they
improved. I've seen so many disastrous results from that kind of thing. And right. With him, touchdown, game-winning touchdown.
You know Benjamin not going to make a mistake
He's
like that.
He's got the lightest touch, Matt, don't you?
He does, apparently.
In the Forney Mesquite Poteet District, what is that? That's 12-5A?
12-5A.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mesquite Poteet. 58-34 in a shootout against Forney. That's a good offensive explosion there for Poteet, a team that had been winning games, close to the vest. Caleb Fletcher throws for three touchdowns. Walter Dawn rushes for two. Really impressive performance there. They're now 3-0 in district play after
sleeper pick in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
I think they're coming together pretty
and
well.
And my boys Terrell, Mike Shields continues to just turn that program around. They're 5-1, 3-0 in district play. 30-9 over West Mesquite, and we had a private school score we need to talk about. Bishop Dunn, 21 unanswered points.
In the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter. To claim,
that's
I think.
Impressive on the road to go and just
yeah.
You don't just stroll into Prestonwood.
Well, you can stroll into Prestonwood, actually. They'll let you. They're very friendly.
Right.
But once you're there, it's going to be tough getting in the fourth quarter, score 21 points in a row.
Yeah, 28-21, they pick up the win. That's their third straight win over a really good Prestonwood Christian team. That's, I would not be surprised to see this as a rematch in the TAPS Division I final. Well, that's it for part one. Part two, we'll talk to Coach Hal Wasson from South Lake Carroll, and then we'll talk about games of the week in part three. In part two of the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast, we have a distinguished guest joining us. It's Hal Wasson of South Lake Carroll. Coach, congratulations on such a great start. And I know that a lot of people are anxious for this week. You guys probably aren't as anxious as as we are to watch it. But how do you think the season has gone so far for you? You picked up a loss early, but you've made a change at quarterback and your team has played really tremendously since.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. And I know any time I get to talk about our football team, I'm getting to talk about the players that represent it and the coaches. And that's always an honorable thing because you know how hard they train to get where they are. So appreciate that. We are excited to be where we are. Obviously, we have stumped our toe week one to a good football team in Westlake, learned a lot about ourselves. It's been a continuous climb. It's been a journey. We knew going in it wasn't going to be easy. We never make excuses. It was what it was. We had a lot of, we had to replace 10 guys on defense. We're not the biggest team on defense or the fastest, but we've got to really rely on our fits and our discipline to be good. Offensively, you alluded to the fact that, you know, we have a new quarterback, a junior that's progressed quite well. A lot to do with the progression of our offensive line, who we replaced four of those guys, or three of them. And then he's got four new receivers to work with this year. And the emergence, you know, of Zach Ferrar has been very productive for us. Obviously, we've been able to move LJ, a little Jordan, around quite a bit, Shamar around quite a bit, and he's been good in distributing the ball because that's the way we have to play. We have to distribute the wealth to be successful.
I don't think anybody thought that little Jordan Humphrey was such a talented receiver coming into this season. He hadn't had a ton of catches, but man, you've really used him quite a bit coming out of the backfield and you know, in kind of split wide sets.
Yeah, LJ's been a very productive player for us now these last 2 years, somewhat his sophomore year. It's been fun to watch him grow and mature. LJ has a really good football IQ. He knows our protections. He knows our routes. Obviously, he's been an efficient runner for us. Works hard every day to be good. And anytime you're 6'5", and you weigh 205, and you're athletic, that's always a good thing. It makes for a lot better coach, I'll promise you.
Do you have any idea what he's going to play in college? You know, being a running back and being that tall, you know, I wouldn't think he would be a running back, but he's certainly got the skills to do it.
You know, it's funny you ask. A handful of schools want a big running back, and there's no doubt LJ will put on another 25 pounds or so of muscle and beef, and because he plays a lot of basketball in the spring and summer. So I think, to answer your question, for the most part, it could be an H-back. What people don't know, he could probably be one of our best linebackers too. So I think he's got a wealth of potential either side of the ball.
And Zach is in the same vein. I talked to his dad before the season started, and you know, people were recruiting him at H-back. And,
yes.
You know, he's a versatile player as well. Do you see him as an H-back in college or maybe a you know, on the defensive side?
I think it depends on keyword system he goes to. He's really come on strong as an outside guy now. He's a big, strong, physical guy. He's also combined that now with good route running ability. He's really trusting himself, and when you do that, you play with a lot more confidence. You free flow better. You know, some guys go out hoping to make a catch or a block. I think he has more confidence now that it's anticipation of making the play now.
Coach, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's kind of it.
I was just wondering, with you guys last week, such a dramatic win and double overtime against Capel. You know, how long did you guys really get to enjoy that before looking ahead and saying, oh, wow, now we get Trinity?
That's another thing. I think after every game now, your first emotion's relief. You know, I kind of hate that about the game today, honestly, because Bill Snyder asked me one time at a clinic, he said, Coach, your first win, what did it feel like that first couple of years as head coach? And you're like, I'm ecstatic, I'm elated, turning handsprings. And now it's like, whew, we got that one behind us. And you worry about the next one on the bus ride home. But over the last couple of years, I've really chosen to enjoy and relish a victory, particularly that kind of win and that kind of moment and that kind of venue. But we always operate on the 24-hour rule because we knew in Richland we were getting a team that was hot, that was blessed with some very athletic guys, and they won their last three, so we knew we had to play well. And fortunately, offensively came out, played well, and defensively it took us a little bit of time, and we got it together, and good things happened.
Well, Coach, we certainly thank you for joining us here on the Sports Day HS podcast. As we do with every coach, we're going to close with a three-question segment, a little silly questions for Coach Hal Wasson. First question, not really a silly question. What is Dragon Mystique, a real thing? Because you guys seem to find the magic, you know, in those close games and in crunch time.
Well, we have a standard we train by. We have a standard we play by. We say that we've got to go in every game and we've got to play as hard as we can play every play because we know it's going to come down to 3 to 5 to 6 plays. And if we're not playing hard every play, we might miss that moment. And fortunately, we've got to be at our best when it matters the most. And to me, that's kind of where we stand. That's what we live by.
Have you guys renamed it Silver Fox Swag, or is it still Dragon Mystique?
Always Dragon Mystique.
Okay, second question. We asked coaches what their favorite football-related TV or movie is. We normally give two options, Friday Night Lights, the TV show, or Varsity Blues, the movie. But feel free to go any other direction.
Oh, boy. I don't watch a lot of TV, honestly. I invest my time and I watch football games.
Football game and football tapes, probably.
Football games and tapes. That's pretty much it for me.
That's the best answer we've had thus far. As far as all of the places that you've coached, various stops around the state. What's your favorite mascot of the teams that you've coached?
Dragons.
There you go.
Without hesitation.
He knows who's got is giving him his paycheck.
That's right. I've never been accused of being very smart, but I'm not goofy either. So
after this, you might have a future in public relations if that's something you choose to pursue.
Yes, sir.
Well, Coach Hal Wasson, we thank you for joining us here on the Sports AHS podcast. Have a good one, Coach.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Have a good day.
Part three. Thanks, Avi.
It's getting a little old.
Well, I just say part three because that's just what I do.
Can I have a thing? No.
You have a thing.
Stop.
It's the laugh.
Yeah, it's like laugh.
Oh, no, what's that thing he does? It's like, wah, 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 wah.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Well, we haven't had any moments yet that have deserved that.
Okay. All
right. So screw up with something and then maybe.
We'll do.
Okay,
Thursday night games this week. Really interesting that DISD is playing all their Thursday games. Why is that, Greg? Do we know?
To help with our scheduling and having enough riders to cover all
the
staff.
Are they testing or something?
I don't know, but are they the only school that's doing testing? Because it's like 20-something games on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Every DISD game, including, I think, there's a road game against Godley.
Mm-hmm. Madison.
Madison going on the road to face Godley. So it's like the full crew there on Thursday night. Maybe it's a school holiday on Friday. I do not know. Some interesting games as a result on Thursday night. Carrollton, Creekview, and Bryan Adams. Bryan Adams has had a real nice start to their district season, 3-0, and they face Creekview, who's 3-0 in 11-5A. They're right now at the three-way top with Woodrow also there. Woodrow, I saw on Friday night, they threw five interceptions in that game and still won in double overtime.
Just like a
against
Druda.
Newman Smith. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Kimball and Sauk. That's a game I'll be at on Thursday night. They're at Wilmer Hutchins Stadium. Haven't actually covered a game at Wilmer Hutchins Stadium, so I'm excited about that. Kimball at 3-0 in district, but 4-3 overall. Sauk at 3-3, 2-0 in district play. You remember Sauk, they faced the Murderers Row to start the season. They went 0-3 against the likes of your Cedar Hills and South Grand Prairies and those type of teams.
DeSoto.
Mm-hmm. And DeSoto. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then they end up playing Odie White, Molina, and Samuel and holding those teams collectively to 150 yards total offense.
It's been a different feel out there.
Yeah, they've really got it cranked up, and this probably would be their biggest test there in 13-5A. Other Thursday night games, Summit and Seguin. If Seguin is going to make the playoffs, they're probably going to need to pick up a win that would be considered an upset. They close with Summit, Hatchie, Lancaster, and Lake Ridge.
That's
which is
tough. Death Valley right there. Oh, speaking of which, I'm going to actually be at that game on Thursday.
That'll be a good one. Summit at 6-0, 3-0, and they actually were in the State Associated Press poll for the first time this week. They were at number 10. Mm. Rockwall Heath and West Mesquite, this might be a play
desperation
in. Yeah, the desperation, stay alive for the playoffs game. Both are 1-2 in district play. And the same with the Colony and Frisco Liberty. If you've got a chance to get in some sort of tiebreaker scenario, those teams probably cannot afford another loss. The Colony is at 2-3 in district play, although they've played some of the tougher opponents in that district. Liberty at 2-2. On Friday night, the district that I mentioned a little bit about earlier in part one, and that's 5-6A, a lot of that's going to shake out this week. I know, Matt, you're doing a column about kind of playoff shakeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this certainly is going to do it between teams with 1-2 records in 5-6A. Northwest and Byron Nelson both coming off of some impressive wins a week ago. They face off And Keller and Keller Timber Creek face off. All those schools are 1-2, so you'll probably have some separation there. Fossil Ridge has is at risk of falling to 2-2 in district and kind of getting stuck in the malaise that is the middle of that playoff race. They have to go to Denton Ryan to C.H. Collins, and Denton Ryan has been impressive so far this season. They're 6-0, 3-0 in district play. In 4-6A, Bowie and Martin square off, and Lamar Arlington square. So the four best teams, I think, in that district face each other. Martin, they've really kind of rode comfortably to a 3-0 record in district play. Lamar and Arlington, though, is an interesting game. Lamar has not necessarily blown people out, and Arlington is 3-0 in district play and could make a push to contend for the district title if they can get past Lamar. Talking a little bit about 6-6A, Alan is off this week, which we are very sad for our numbers on our website.
I am indifferent, sir. We have great games this week.
We have probably the best slate of games that we've had all season as far as importance
goes.
They
are delicious.
Yeah, but an Allen potluck supper will get you several thousand hits.
We're gonna cover that pretty heavily.
Yeah, we're gonna have two reporters.
I think
they're having a
6-on-6
they
game.
They have a scrimmage or anything, an intra-squad scrimmage we can cover.
We'll have photographers out there.
Well, you know, if the freshman team gets out there, then
Plano East and Flower Mound Marcus East. You talk about a tough closeout schedule. Yeah. They've got Marcus, Louisville, Hebron, and Allen. So they've got to, you know, keep their head above water.
And they're
water
one of those teams that talk about what one game can do as far as a swing. If they can pull off a win over Marcus, they're thinking, we're feeling really good.
We're in good shape.
They lose to Marcus.
Louisville game becomes huge.
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden they're in, you know, they're in that quagmire, and it's pretty bad in there. And actually, I expect Marcus to win that game because Marcus has been very impressive.
Now, Louisville, if they want to be in that mix for that fourth spot, they get to host Plano West this week. Plano West still has Allen left, but they also have games against Hebron and Flower Mound. So if they can get this win, they might be able to make a little run to finish out, you know, at 4 and you know, at either 5-3 or 4-4 in district play.
One thing on 6-6A, if Plano West beats Louisville, Plano beats Boyd, and Hebron beats Flower Mound, you're going to have four teams at 2-3, and Plano will be 2-4.
Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brain hurts.
McKinney Boyd needs a win against Plano.
Get those tiebreaker scenarios.
Yeah. We will have the tiebreaker scenarios probably after this week, which makes me sad. looking at the game of the week, I don't think there's any question. Southlake Carroll and Euless Trinity. Carroll at 5-1, 2-0 in district. Trinity at 7-0. Matt, what are your thoughts on this game? We talked to Coach Wasson about it briefly earlier. We didn't really talk about the game. We talked about his prospects.
He's been asked about it many times.
So. Yeah, you know, I got a feeling he didn't necessarily want to, you know, divulge too much, so I didn't push too hard. Do you think that that Carroll has the size up front? What he did talk about is he replaced 10 guys on defense and three members of the offensive line. That's hard against a Trinity team that's always so physical and up front on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to know pretty early on how Carroll's holding up against that, because it's going to be in the trenches. You know, if you can't play with Trinity up there, it's going to be tough. But I think the game's going to play out a lot like it did last year. You know, Carroll won on a late touchdown by Lil Jordan Humphrey. I always feel funny saying Lil. Because he's so big.
Coach is calling him LJ. So
LJ. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. That works a little better. But and I think it's going to be the same way. I think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Trinity is going to try to, you know, hold the ball and do their typical thing, their drives, 4, 5, 6 minutes. And that's how Trinity stays in games. I think Carroll, they're going to need some big plays because I don't think they can – necessarily drive the field the way Trinity can do it.
Right.
Even with Humphrey, who's a great back. And they have a good offensive line. They're younger, though, like you were mentioning. They've had to replace people. I think they're going to need some big plays offensively to get some points on the board that way.
Zach Farrar will be important as far as big play potentials. He had a huge game a couple of weeks ago. Certainly capable of having a breakout performance. Here's a game that, you know, looking at the start of the season, you said, yeah, that's a pretty good game. This is a huge game for District 8-6A. That is South Grand Prairie at DeSoto. South Grand Prairie wins this game. They're likely going to end up with the number one seed in Division 1, which means that there would not be a DeSoto-Allen first-round game. And that would mean that DeSoto would face Trinity in the first round of the playoffs.
You pick your poison.
And conceivably, and this is a just blows my mind, if South Grand Prairie beats DeSoto, DeSoto and Duncanville would probably have huge significance that potentially could bump DeSoto out of the playoffs with a game against Duncanville. Duncanville still has a chance to qualify, and you know that would be a bigger game later in the season than what you would originally think. So this is a pretty important game, and certainly a lot of talent on both sides of the field should be a good one to watch. Lake Highlands travels. Actually, they host Highland Park, the game between 6-0 teams. And in our the craziest 6A district, or one of the craziest, and that's 11-6A, Sachse and Rockwall face off. Sachse, remember, with a great start of the season, but now could potentially be starting to worry about their playoff lives. They are now 2-1 in district. Rockwall has really played well once they've gotten in district play. They're 3-0. Another game with some playoff implications. If Sachse loses, maybe they want Tyler Lee to lose as well. Tyler Lee 1-2 in district play, but they go travel to Garland, and certainly could be a shootout there. In 5A action, Centennial and Wakeland. Matt.
That's a big game.
That's a big game. It could be a quick game, too. Yeah, a lot of running.
There should be a lot of running in that, a lot of good running. Although Centennial really had a hard time running against Lone Star last week. That's probably a tribute to Lone Star's defense. But, yeah, that's a huge game in there. I mean, they're probably the perfect example of a district where one game can swing so big. If Centennial wins that game, well, then they'll have that one loss to Lone Star, but they'll have played most of the top teams and be in good shape. If Wakeland wins that game, they're feeling pretty good. If you lose that game,
start sweating.
Oh, because the tiebreakers, and we remember what they were last year. It was terrible. They were like,
it was a four-team tiebreaker fourth spot.
Yeah. Third and fourth.
Yeah, and the Colony ended up having to score like 17 unanswered late in the fourth
quarter
to win that game and get in the playoffs. Lovejoy and Wiley East in 12-5A. That could be for the district title. Who do you guys have in that game? I don't have a favorite yet.
Wiley East.
Okay. Matt says Wiley East.
I like Lovejoy.
Oh,
I'm on the fence.
I'm on the fence too.
That's how I feel.
That's a good matchup between some potent offenses, Braden Shoemake and Eno Benjamin.
Who will throw the winning touchdown pass, Bowman Sells or Eno Benjamin?
Aaron Fuller.
Just kidding.
It's going to be a double pass back to Bowman Sales. It could happen. Wiley and Prosper. Wiley doing what Wiley always does.
That was a
does.
Good win for them last week.
Big win over Denison. A 10-point win over Denison. They still have Lovejoy and McKinney North on the schedule, so a game at Prosper going to be a big one for them to kind of keep their head above water there in that playoff race. They run out 3-1 in district play. Terrell and Forney. Terrell 3-0 in district. Forney picks up their first loss last week against Poteet. And they've got a tough stretch coming up. They've got in the next three games, Terrell, Heath, and West Mesquite. We'll see how they how their playoff hopes survive after that run. Hatchie and Timberview, upset alert right here.
Oh yeah,
there's something about it. That Timberview, they're in a kind of a desperation mode, but Hatchie, also in the same boat. They're 0-3, but they've put up a lot of points in some losses and played pretty well.
Preseason number one in the area, Timberview, is in trouble of making the playoffs.
Yeah, they've got to have this game. They're 3-3 overall, but 2-1 in district play.
1-2.
1-2 in district play.
In a very, very good district. Crazy good district.
Yeah, absolutely. Innes and Tyler John Tyler at Tyler Rose Stadium. Both are unbeaten in 16-5A. And
we will have live stats for that game. So come to our website Friday night.
Who's traveling to do that?
I'll give you a guess.
Green.
Anthony.
Yeah. Anthony is a beast, man. He loves that mileage.
Talking about Greg, hold up. Anthony didn't want to kill a spider for me when we were at Baylor. This big old yellow spider hiding in there.
I didn't say he's a beast at killing spiders. That's just a drive into faraway games.
Laughing at me. It jumped at me and surprised me. Thank God there was a window pane separate.
I had a raccoon almost maul my face off last night. So
is this a one-up competition? Is
that saying.
Was Anthony there to
nature's
kill
Nature's out there, man. Nature's out there.
Are you all right there, brother?
Man, that raccoon really scared me.
They're not supposed to
like,
be pets.
No, was it like on you?
I was throwing my trash out, and I threw my trash in like the side window thing, and this thing just like crawls out like immediately. Scared the bejesus out of me.
Now you live in the village?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not exactly.
Village raccoons, they were smoking a cigarette in there.
Right. And, well, yeah, he was just chilling with some scotch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I
like a TV dinner, like leftover TV dinners right. and a cigarette.
There was this That's, moment where I just
they know
freaked
there's food
out,
to be had around
and I like
there.
Jumped back, and then it looked at me, and I looked at it.
You know, my mom actually, you know, it shows you how country. Teague, Texas was back in the day, but my mom had a pet raccoon there for a minute.
Did she? It kind of looked cuddly, you know. Like,
oh,
I was,
yeah, they're real smart.
I was worried about rabies.
They could claw off your face, and they do sometimes have rabies.
Yeah.
Best private
some downsides.
Best private school game of the week, and that is Argyle Liberty Christian at Bishop Dunn. See if Bishop Dunn can continue to roll on there at Earl Hayes Stadium. Final thoughts this week, guys. I think this is, you know, Matt, I'm anxiously anticipating your column.
Oh, don't anticipate it that much.
Well, you know, it is true. It is shakeout week.
Well, it's hard to write about how big it is for so many teams, but I just think this is really was last week too, but even next week, you know, there's just, I think it's a lot like moving day in golf right now. It's like you got to get set up, and people are going to be kicking themselves if they don't get a particular win this week.
Hey, Avi, little update for people to get on that phone and set themselves up for the beta site.
Yeah.
I know there's some confusion right now between the old site and the new site. Old site, not going to work so great. New site, beta.sportsdayhs.com, works great.
It looks good.
It does look good.
We, you know, one of the things we kind of talked about both online and on the podcast and whatnot is that it's beta for a reason, which means, you know, we're constantly looking for ways to improve it and get better. And we just rolled out this past week a whole mess of new upgrades, redesign, whatever you want to call it. But I think the game pages in particular look real good.
Yep.
Yeah, last
real
week
good. You get a lot of information on just one page. So I would greatly encourage everybody on Friday night or Thursday night or whenever your game may be to get onto our website. And at least, if nothing else, just check out the game page and see for yourself and, you know, see if you like it. And if not, you can tell us what you think.
If you go to the beta site on your phone, there's these little icons at the bottom where you can say, you know, add to your home page, add to your home screen. Do that because that is essentially our new app, like the version of the app. The app has gone away.
It sits there just like an app on your
but
screen.
Actually, I think the mobile site works as well as
That's
the app
better.
Has ever did and certainly looks fantastic. So congratulations to Avi and the crew that's been working behind that. They've certainly
There are people far smarter than me doing that stuff.
Well, you know, but you've been important on that. Okay, well, that go ahead.
I was going to say, Corbett, one thing, did you notice that on the game page, they actually had recommendations of where you could eat near the game site?
Yeah, I know. So there's some Guide Live tie-in there.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Unless maybe if you're at the John Tyler game, I don't know how well that's going to work.
Yeah, probably not going to work so great there. But
sorry.
You can find some good barbecue in Tyler.
Yeah.
Raccoons?
And you can find raccoons.
Probably not barbecued raccoon. Although, you don't ever know, man. It's Tyler.
Indeed. All right. Good place to end.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for listening to Sports AHS Weekly Football Podcast. Make sure you follow us on iTunes. Subscribe to that, and it will just automatically show up on your phone. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.